Hi guys, welcome back to Abracadaver. This week's case is about the Fort Worth Missing Trio. On December 23, 1974, Rachel Trilica, Renee Wilson, and Julie Ann Mosley went missing at the Seminary South Shopping Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Mary Rachel Trilica was 17 years old at the time of her disappearance. She was born November 9, 1957. Rachel was 5'6" and weighed 105 pounds. She was a white female with brown hair and blue-green eyes. She had a chipped upper front tooth and a small scar on her chin. She was wearing a wedding ring. Rachel was married for 6 months to a 21-year-old man named Thomas A. Trilica. Thomas had a 2-year-old son named Sean from a previous marriage. Rachel's maiden name is Arnold. Before her disappearance, Rachel's sister was living with them after she broke up with her boyfriend. Deborah was previously engaged to Thomas, but according to Deborah, the two separated amicably and the relationship wasn't serious. On the morning of December 23rd, Rachel wanted to go last-minute shopping and invited her friend Renee Wilson to go with her. Renee agreed to go with her because she had some jeans that she had on layaway at the Army-Navy store. Lisa Renee Wilson was 14 years old when she went missing. Renee was born August 29th, 1960. She was 5'2" and weighed 110 pounds. She was a white female with brown hair, with reddish highlights, and brown eyes. She had a scar on one of her thighs. She was last seen in blue/purple hip-hugger pants, a yellow shirt with words "Sweet Honesty" on them in green letters, and a promise ring with a single stone. She was also wearing red and white Oxford shoes. Renee was at her grandmother's house that morning, and she normally stayed there while her mother was at work. Living next door to Renee's grandmother was Julie Ann Mosley. Julie Ann Mosley was a 9-year-old girl when she disappeared. She was born April 5, 1965. She was 4'3" and weighed 85 pounds. She was a white female with light brown hair and blue eyes. She was last seen in a red shirt, dark jeans, and red tennis shoes. Julie had a scar under her left eye, the middle of her forehead, and a round scar on the back of one of her calves. On the morning of December 23, 1974, Rachel drove over to Renee's grandmother's to pick her up. Once Rachel got there, Renee told her that Julie Mosley wanted to tag along. Julie had overheard Renee's conversation with her boyfriend, Terry Mosley, Julie's older brother. Renee had asked him if he wanted to go to the mall with them after he gave her a promise ring earlier that morning. Terry said he couldn't go because he was going to the hospital to visit a friend who was having a hernia repair. Julie had asked the older girls to go, saying that she didn't want to spend the day alone. Rachel and Renee didn't really want Julie there, but to be nice, they told her to ask her mother, hoping that she would tell her daughter no. Julie called her mother, Rayanne, at work and asked about going to the mall. Julie's mom remembers saying, quote, "I was working for an electrical contractor, and my husband and I were separated. It was a bitter, bitter time. I remember that Julie called and wanted to go to the Seminary South. I said, no, you don't have any money. You just stay home. I knew Renee and her mom, but I didn't really know Rachel. But she, Julie, kept whining about how she wouldn't have anybody to play with. I finally gave in, but told her to be home by 6. Renee was adamant that she would be home by 4 so she could get ready for the Christmas party she and Terry were going to attend that night. The three girls got into Rachel's 1974 Oldsmobile 98 sometime before noon and drove to the Army-Navy store where Renee picked up her jeans. Renee put her jeans in the trunk of Rachel's car and they headed to the mall where Rachel parked in the Sears parking lot. We know that the girls made it into the mall because several witnesses said they saw the three girls wandering around in different shops. Witnesses remember seeing Renee's yellow Sweet Honesty shirt with green lettering. When 4 p.m. came and went, Renee's mother, Judy, became concerned. Renee was so excited about going to that Christmas party, and she wouldn't have missed it. By 6 p.m., the families of the three girls were home from work. She realized that none of the girls made it home. They became extremely worried and drove to the mall to try to find the girls. Terry and Rusty, who was Rachel's 11-year-old brother, was told to stay by the phone in case someone called, or one of the girls called, while they were out looking for them. As they drove, they kept an eye out for Rachel's vehicle. When they reached the mall, they drove around the parking lot. They finally found Rachel's car, parked in the upper parking lot near Sears. The doors were locked, and a single present from Renee to Sean was on the floor in the back seat. This present indicated that the girls had at least made it to the car to unload their purchases. Renee's mother, Judy, had every store in the mall page Rachel, Renee, and Julie, while Rachel's mother, Frances, and Rusty, Rachel's younger brother, went inside stores looking for them. With no sign of the girls, Renee called the hospitals and the police. There was no sign of a struggle inside or outside of the vehicle. The families waited in the parking lot all night. Renee's father and a neighbor climbed up into the nearby roof with a shotgun, waiting for the person or people who took the girls to come back to the Oldsmobile. Police ruled the trio runaways, even though neither girl had ever run away before. This is something that police did a lot in missing persons cases with kids in the 70s. There are a lot of red flags indicating that these girls weren't runaways. It doesn't make sense that the girls would run away 2 days before Christmas. And they also had a 9-year-old little girl with them. Rachel and Renee both invited several people to go with them to the mall. Rachel invited her mom and her sister Deborah and her husband, and Renee invited her boyfriend. So this doesn't sound like something two teenagers would do if they wanted to run away. The next day, on December 24th, Rachel's husband, Thomas, had received a letter in the mail. On the front, it says, "To Thomas A. Trilica." On the upper left-hand corner of the envelope was Rachel's name. The letter was written in childlike scrawl, and the stamp had been canceled that morning that it reached the Trilicas' home. There was no city name on the postmark, but there was a blurry postal service number and the zip code 76083. The three appeared to be either written backwards, like it was from a hand-loaded stamp, or a partial 8. It is believed that it says either 76083, which is from Aylesville, or 760888, which is from Weatherford. The letter reads, quote, "I know we're going to catch it, but we just had to get away. We're going to Houston. We'll see you in about a week. The car is in Sears upper lot. Love, Rachel." Rachel's family doesn't believe she wrote that letter. The letter is addressed to Thomas, and Rachel always called her husband Tommy. Another weird thing about the letter was that the envelope was written in pencil, and the letter itself, which was bigger than the envelope, was written in pen. Rachel's name looked to have a spelling mistake originally. The L in her name looked like it was written first as a lowercase e, but then written over to look like an L. Terry had to say this about the letter, quote, "I don't understand the letter at all. The letter seems to me like it almost points to someone who knew them. People say it's to throw us off the track." Throw us off what track? There has never been any track. I don't know if we will ever know what happened. If the girls really did run away, why didn't Rachel take her car? Why leave it in the parking lot? You would think that when a teenager runs away, they wouldn't write a letter stating where they were going either. Unless the person or people who took the girls was buying more time. That Christmas, Judy kept Renee's gifts under the tree in hopes that she would be able to give them to her as time went on. She put Renee's unopened gifts in the attic. 6 days later, police said that Rachel did write that letter, but that she would have to be forced to write it. Over the years, many handwriting experts, including the FBI, have compared Rachel's handwriting to the note, and they all came back as inconclusive. About 6 weeks after the girl's disappearance on January 6th at 11 p.m., Rayanne received a phone call. When she answered the phone, it was silent on the other end. She said hello a couple more times, and before she hung up the phone, she heard a low moan and a girl say, "Mama." Rayanne asked if she was talking to her daughter, and the girl on the other end said yes. Rayanne then asked the girl where she was, and the caller didn't know. She said the caller said "Mama" again, and it sounded like she was about to say something else before the phone went dead. Rayanne screamed Julie's name several times before she heard the dial tone. Rayanne's positive that that was her daughter on the phone. With police still thinking the girls ran away, the girls' families decided to take matters into their own hands. They called newspapers across the country and put missing persons posters. Witnesses began to come forward. An elderly woman told a store clerk that she saw girls being forced into a yellow pickup truck. This woman has never come forward despite pleas from police. Then, in 1981, another witness said that he saw a man force a girl or girls into a van in the mall's parking lot. When he approached this man with the van, This man told him that it was a family dispute and to stay out of it. Police were unable to verify if these statements were true or not. A Fort Worth security guard stated that he had seen the trio at 11:30 p.m. that day, that they disappeared, sitting in a pickup truck with a young male security guard. Julie was sitting next to the young security guard, Renee was in the middle, and Rachel was sitting near the passenger side of the door. He said that the girls looked like they were there willingly. He said that the girls were laughing and talking before the young security guard drove off. The security guard said that he told police about the sighting, but he said that they never followed up with him until April of 2001. Not long after Rachel, Renee, and Julie's disappearance, their family hired a well-known psychic named Joseph. Joseph offered to do it for free of charge and even donated to the growing reward fund. Joseph told the families that he sensed that there was something wrong with the letter. He said that he sensed the girls were in either Oklahoma or Illinois and that they were being held against their will. He also said that he believed dope was involved and they were with three or five other people. While he was at Rachel's parents' home, he told them that if they never saw him again, that the girls were probably dead. The family had never seen or spoken to Joseph again. A man came forward in 1975 claiming to know Rachel. He said that he saw the girls a few hours before they went missing. They were at a record store and he talked with Rachel briefly. He said that there was someone else with them. In 1975, the girls' families hired a private investigator named John Swain. John called the press conferences and forced investigators to give him access to their case files. In 1976, in Brazoria, Texas, three skeletons were found by a drilling crew. John requested that Rachel, Renee, and Julie's dental records be compared with the teeth of the three skeletal remains. But these skeletons were not either one of the girls. One of the skeletal remains was a male between the ages of 15 and 17 years old. There were two female skeletons, but they were not either Julie, Renee, or Rachel. In 1979, John, the private investigator, committed suicide, and strangely enough, he requested that all of his records be destroyed. It is unknown if he had any new leads on the girls' case. All three of the girls' families received prank calls from people claiming to be their missing daughters. It got so bad that Renee's mother had to get a second phone. In December 2001, during a press conference, police stated that they had narrowed down their suspects to a list of five people, but they have never released any names. Investigators looked through medical examination records in New Mexico for Jane Doe's, matching the description of the girls, but this turned up nothing. Rachel, Renee, and Julie's dental records and DNA are still on file in the hopes that they are found one day. In September 2018, Rusty, with the help of Texas EquiSearches, retrieved one of three cars submerged in the Benbrook Lake. Benbrook Lake was 8 miles north of the mall where the girls went missing. A GoFundMe was set up to raise money for the divers from the North Texas Marine Salvage to pull the cars out of the water. The first car was pulled out on September 22, 2018, and then the second car was pulled out on October 13, 2018. Five scientists were brought to analyze them, and neither car was determined to be related to the trio's disappearance. But the car's VIN numbers were connected to other unsolved cases in Texas. A year later, in 2019, the drivers attempted to bring the third car to the surface, but they were unsuccessful. The car was rusted over, the sheet metal around the car was razor sharp, and the vehicle was falling apart as the drivers tried to bring it back up. 6 months after Rachel disappeared, her father passed away from stage 4 skin cancer. Her mother, Frances, remarried a few years later. Thomas eventually left Fort Worth and became a supervisor at a water company in Texas. Less than 2 years of Rachel's disappearance, he requested a divorce from Rachel on the grounds of abandonment. Thomas has since remarried numerous times. Rachel's younger brother, Rusty, contacted a private investigator named Dan James after seeing his ad in the Yellow Pages in the late 1990s. Dan had been following the case since 1975. During the media interviews, Dan had said that he had received death threats and was threatened to drop the case, but he continued on. Dan and Rusty believe that Rachel is still alive and that Renee and Julie died many years ago. According to Rusty, a witness had told him that they had seen Rachel in Fort Worth in 1998 around Christmas. Throughout the years, according to Rusty, witnesses had said they'd seen both Renee and Rachel in several places, such as Walmart, the $1.99 store, and in a gas station. Rusty believes that Deborah, his sister, had something to do with their sister Rachel's disappearance. Frances, Rusty's mother, believes Dan has poisoned Rusty against his family. According to Deborah, she had taken two polygraph tests and had passed both. Renee's family still resides in the same house. Renee's mother passed away from pulmonary hypertension in 2015. Julie's mom had seen numerous psychologists and psychiatrists. She had also spent time in hospitals. She sadly passed away without knowing what happened to her daughter. Rachel Trilica went missing in the South Seminary shopping mall in Fort Worth, Texas, on December 23rd, 1974. She was 17 years old at the time of her disappearance. She was born on November 11th, 1957. She was 5'6" and weighed 105 pounds. She was a white female with brown hair and blue-green eyes. She had a chipped upper front tooth and a small scar on her chin, and she was wearing a wedding ring. Her maiden name was Arnold. Rachel Renee Wilson was 14 years old when she went missing from South Seminary Shopping Center. Renee was born on August 29th, 1960. She was 5'2" and weighed 110 pounds. She was a white female with brown hair and reddish highlights with brown eyes. She had a scar on one of her thighs. She was last seen in a blue/purple hip hugger pants, yellow shirt with the word Sweet Honesty in green letters, and she also was wearing red and white Oxford shoes. She had a promise ring with a single stone. Julianne Mosley was 9 years old when she went missing. She was born April 5th, 1965. She was 4'3" and weighed 85 pounds. She was a white female with light brown hair and blue eyes. She was last seen in a red shirt, dark jeans, and red tennis shoes. Julie had a scar under her left eye, the middle of her forehead, and a round scar on the back of one of her calves. All three girls' cases are classified as a non-family abduction. This case has been unsolved for 48 years today. If the girls are alive today, Rachel would be 65, Renee would be 62, and Julie would be 57. If you have any information regarding this case, you're asked to contact the Fort Worth Police Department at 817-877-8345. Thank you so much for giving this case a moment of your time. I'll talk to you.